critical to our business. It's called the Wheel of Fortune. It's the four core activities. And these four core activities are crucial for any of you to have success in this business. Because a lot of people think that sometimes when they get involved in direct sales or network marketing, they go out there and they go, well, it's just energy. Just go out and share and just talk and be this ball of energy. Well, there's a specific set of skills that you want to develop. Because if you just get out there and you're like this ball of energy, and many of us have seen these people, we've signed them up and we watch them and they're a ball of energy and they sign up 100 people and then 6 months later they're gone. And one of the main reasons is because they're all doing it purely out of energy and they're not working on developing a set of skills. Because there's a specific skill set out there that you want to develop. So if you were going to go out and you're going to meet 20 people today, wouldn't you like to have the skills that are going to maximize your results with those 20 people? Because we can just go meet 20 people and we can go, hey, man, I just started this new thing. You got to, you know, and out of pure excitement. And that sometimes gets people to you know, be interested. But wouldn't it be wonderful if you had some really terrific languaging that has been studied by the professionals in this industry for 50 years that says, don't use this, but use this. Don't use this, but use this. Do you get it? That exists today. So what you want to do is you want to develop the skill set. You want to study those four core principles, those four core activities, and be the best you can be at those four core activities. Because if you're the best you can be at those four core activities, I'm going to tell you, presidential is knocking at your door. So it's not just do it by the seat of your pants. Just like any other profession, there's a skill set that you want to focus on and develop to be the best you can. And I know that by my own experience. I walked into network marketing, and I was a lawyer by profession. Guess what? Not too many of my skill sets over there applied to skill sets here. Do everybody agree with that, right? I mean, I wasn't a listener. I was an annihilator. You get the difference? There's a little difference in those two positions. So the idea is that what we're going to do is we're going to have to shift a little bit to really educate ourselves on what, you know, are the skill sets to make us the best in this industry. So today we're going to talk about what those four core are, and I'm going to give you a little background on, you know, what you need to do or what things you should look at to improve on those and just give you some insight into them. If I can take that. So we talk about the Wheel of Fortune. Okay, everybody's familiar with it. We got a big wheel here. That's our Wheel of Fortune, and we have four specific skill sets, right? And the first thing is that we do, this is called, it's our four core, or also known as Wheel of Fortune. Many names to this because this has been around. Did Mary Jo develop this? By no means. In fact, I'm going to suggest it's probably over 70 years old. That's how principle this is to our industry. It's taught all the time. It hasn't changed in the last 50, 60 years, right? Okay, so our first step is to what? When you start a new person, you want to build a contact list, all right? So what's the contact list all about? It's about getting together and sitting down with somebody and say, okay, get out a piece of paper and write down everybody you know. You want to have them start listing everybody they know. And they'll say, but do I have to know their name? No, you don't have to know their name. You could put down my mailman, my woman at the post office I work with. You follow me? I don't care about names. It's called a names list, but you can even put down, well, I don't really remember her first name, or I don't remember her last name. Just write them down. And it's a stream of consciousness. You just go, 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 and write as many as you can on that list. You want to build a big list. I mean, really big. And some people get stuck. That's why we have something that's called Memory Jogger. You can actually print this off of Manatech's website. They have a Memory Jogger printed there, or get one from your upline. And it helps you think about categories of people that you're just not thinking about. Because some people leave off their dentists, their doctors. They leave off their PTA group. They leave off of their, you know, how about this? Some people leave off their entire church. They start enlisting three church members, and I say, get out the church directory, right? I got it. I mean, you got a whole church directory. Yeah. And you go, well, I'm only a member of a small church. Join a big one. No, I'm kidding. You're saying with your church. But the idea is you have a whole laundry list of people, tons of people. And when you do this, what's intriguing is you'll end up with a big list, right? Even if you're not much of an extrovert, you still know a lot of people. And then you go back in time. I mean, I went back to my high school graduating class, my college classes, right? I have all these people that I've known, and how many different places have you lived? I mean, I grew up in Wisconsin. Go Badgers. They beat Auburn. I'm just kidding. Anyway, but that's part of the bowl games. Appropriate for this time of year. But the idea is that you go back to where you lived, what you did, prior careers. I practiced law. I was in the rag business for a while, owned my own sweater manufacturer. I mean, it was so there are a lot of different steps in your life, and you can go back and think of all the people you knew all along that path. And the purpose here is to build a big list. And I'll tell you a cute story. I sat down with a group of people one time when I was doing a training about building a contact list. And the group, there are about 15 of them in this little training at someone's home. And I said, so if you're building this contact list, they're all kind of new. I said, how many people do you think you can get? And the average age in the group was about probably 50-ish. But I had a couple youngsters, one in particular, an 18-year-old gal, who is looking at this to do this as a business. And I was going around the room, how many names do you think you can come up with? And the people in their 50s or 60s, they were going, I think I can come up with 200. I think I can come up with, well, I probably can do maybe 300. And somebody said, well, I'm going to be pushing it to come up to 100. And they're all in that range. And I get to the 18-year-old, and she goes, maybe 2,000 to 3,000. And I looked at the rest of the group. I go, I mean, she's 18 years old. Some of you are three times her age. And you can come up with less than 20% or 10% of what she can come up with. What's the problem in this picture, right? And what it is, one person said, it's my memory. I said, that's why you need the products. Okay, but the incredible thing here is the idea is that we forget more people than we can even put on that piece of paper in our lives. Right? And if an 18-year-old can come up with a names list of 2,000, clearly we can all do better. What is the purpose for building a huge names list? Well, there are a number of them. Number one is, if you work off of a small names list, let somebody come and they say, I want to do the business, and they get to a sheet of paper, they put down 20 names. What happens when they call the first 10 people and none of them are interested? What happens to their belief system and the ability to be successful in this business? 50% of the people they know have already said no. So they already have lost 50% of the people, and they think, well, this isn't going to work. You follow what you do? Because are there going to be people that say no? Oh, my gosh, there are a lot of them. We're going to talk about that as well. There are a lot of people that are going to say no. If you anyone in this room ever approached my husband with network marketing, he'd still say no. Even though his wife's been off the charts successful in it, he'd still say no. Why is that? Because there are people in this world that believe the job market is a job. In fact, he says to me every once in a while, he goes, when are you going to get a real job? And I love it now, because when he makes that comment, not very often, I get to say, you really don't like your lifestyle? because he's been able to complete his whole coin collection. I mean, all his kids went to college on these funds, all that. I mean, it's amazing what we've done with the financial rewards with Manatech. But the idea is that there are going to be people that are stuck with where they are. And you can either choose the next 10 years to try to get them unstuck with a crowbar, or you can say, you know what, there are plenty out there who are going to like what we do and are going to be looking for this incredible opportunity. So the idea is, be ready for no's. In fact, I'll give you a suggestion on no's. Here you go. When your response to a no is identical to your response to a yes, you have arrived. Isn't that amazing? Now, I know how excited we get about yeses, because we're just so excited to get somebody new in our organizations, and we're getting excited about their future. But a no should be the same excitement, because number one, that person sat down and listened to what you had to offer. Does that make sense? They gave you time and energy, and you're just ecstatic that the person gave you and respected you and honored you enough to give you that energy to spend time to listen to you. And they found themselves saying no. You know what? Great. I'm glad you made that decision. Could you tell me why you might pursue that to make sure they're grounded in their decision and it's not based on what somebody else told them? But the importance here is that our emotional state, don't give away your emotional state based on whether somebody says yes or no. Don't let somebody else control your emotional state. That's something that's yours. Don't let people control it. You keep control of that. Okay? So anyway, so back to the names list. So we get in the names list. We build a contact list. We get over, a couple hundred people or 500 people. Use a memory jogger. Make sure it's large. Use a memory jogger, right? Go back in time. We talked about that. The other thing is that list. Does that list stay stationary? No. How many times do we add to our list? Every single day. Every single day. Who do we meet new every day? We're out in public all the time. We meet new people all the time. So you want to consistently be adding to that list. That list is ever changing. Okay, when do you take somebody off the list? If they say no. No. You never take somebody off the list if they say no. Because why? Let me share with you something really important that you need to understand when you're building a list, because this is something that somebody taught me early on, and it was like, wow, this is great stuff. I always thought when somebody said no, that was the end of it, but it's not the end of it. In fact, for me, yesterday, I put out what I call my year-end letter. This is why I developed this. I have a year-end letter that goes out, and if you're interested in seeing that, I'll be happy to share it with you, because it's what it is a recap of 2014. A Manatech recap on the incredible things that happened in this business, right? And what a blessing to just outline those things in a very compliant way. And I just suggested, and I send this recap out to everybody who said no to me. Isn't that neat? Because you know what happens in January? I collect three or four of those people every year. Because why? Here's why this happens. Because if you draw on your sheet of paper just two lines like this, and then you take this circle, it looks like a winding snake. This area in the middle is what we call the looking zone, okay? The looking zone. People in life go in and out of the looking zone. Agree? Let's say I came across you and you just started a brand new job. Where do you think you are? You're going to be like over here. I'm going to be presenting, doing I might think the best presentation I've ever done to join us in Manatech, and you're going to go, not happening. I mean, your whole psychology is about my first impression at the job, how I'm going to do, I think I can really climb this corporate ladder, oh, is this exciting, I went to college to get this job. Why would you ever be interested in doing network marketing? Not in that moment. You just graduated from college, you just got a brand new job, and you're about to show your stuff, strut your stuff, show what you know, climb up the corporate ladder. You got all this going on. So here you are outside the looking zone. So now if I took you off my list, I would never approach you again. But you're one of the people that get my year-end letter. You're in and you're out. You're getting my year-end letter. What happens to you when you find out some unethical things happen at the boss, but things going on in the business, maybe that career really wasn't what you wanted, maybe it's not the best situation, you come around for your second year and they don't give you a raise, even though you busted your butt and you did more than everybody else, but sorry, the company's just not making enough money, we don't know, and then you start seeing the layoffs, and they take away the two people that you had started after your fourth, fifth year that were working for you, so all of a sudden your job is tripled in the amount of work you've got to put out, and now you've gotten married, you have a baby at home, wow, maybe I'd love to stay home with my babies, how could I earn money and stay at home, and you end up getting in the mail a year-end letter from Mary Jo. Where are you now? You're in the looking zone. So you see how our lives change. Day in and day out, our lives change. So you've got to be aware of that. When you approach people, sometimes the no is not about anything to do with network marketing or anything to do with Manatech or anything to do with you. It's purely circumstantial of what's going on in that person's life today. So what a beautiful thing to have the reality that I can go back and touch that person's life and just touch base with them on a year-end basis and say, hey, here we are today, still love to have you in our business, and you're going to shake some of that fruit off that tree, okay? So great idea. So know that. So you never take somebody off your list just because they say no to you. You do take somebody off the list for two reasons only. Number one, they say yes to you. Now they're in your business. They're no longer on your contact list because now they're a business partner of yours or they're a consumer in your business. Either way, they can make either choice. That's their decision, not yours. So they're off your list. The second reason is they die. Don't go to the morgue to find contacts. Really, it doesn't work. I mean, sometimes we find people who are breathing, but they're kind of in the morgue anyway, right? You get it? So we want to make sure we're finding people with a little dynamics to them. They're breathing. They have a pulse because those are the people that are going to work best in this business for you. So again, so add to your list every day. Only take people off for two reasons. Here's another clue for you on your list. Never prejudge. You know, sometimes you start looking at the list and you go, I'm going to look for, because one of the things I tell my people to do when they get their contact list, I say, look at your list and tell me who would you, not that your judgment's going to be accurate, but who would you look at and say, these would be the most dynamic people I could ever get involved in my business. I want to go after those people first. Not that I want my brand new person to do the presentation. I'm doing the three-way calls. I'll do the presentation. We'll do a group. But why do I want to go after the most dynamic people first? Because maybe there's an opportunity. If I just sign up four people, I become platinum presidential. You get this? You follow? Because if you find the dynamic people and they get turned on to it, what happens to them? Their leg just boom, explodes. Like the Sharons of the world, boom, you all of a sudden have this exploding leg. And isn't that a lot of fun as a brand new person to have an exploding leg? Instead of going after the people that are just kind of shy and quiet and probably might take 6 months before they know enough to start sharing and feeling like they get stuck. But you follow? So I like to look at the dynamic people that look like they'd be really super business partners and go after those people first. But again, we don't always have the right judgment because some of the quietest people on the face of the earth can become the biggest gangbusters in your organization. So prejudgment is about you making decisions about whether somebody's going to make it or not. I still rely on some of that up front, but don't prejudge when you put people on your paper. Don't prejudge and not leave them off your piece of paper because you go, oh, well, I'm not going to put this guy. He's the CEO of his own company. And I go, why not? You know him. Put him down. So we put him down. We never know. You never know what they're looking for. You don't know what his wife's doing. Maybe he's trying to. I had one guy who was a psychologist, very wealthy, very, you know, doing extremely well. And somebody introduced me to him, and I said, well, this is what I do. I'm just looking for business partners. I loved it. And he goes, you know what? I'm looking for a business for my wife. Wow. Guess what? She became an executive director in my organization. But it was because I wasn't nervous or scared or embarrassed or anything, I was ready to present this to anyone. So it's not necessarily even the person that you're presenting to that you're going to capture. It's who they know. And that's what you want to think about. It's not about prejudging. It's about evaluating everybody as it may not be that person, but it may be who they know or who they know or who they know, right? We want to go after that. And I have a great story about a good friend of mine who's now passed. He actually passed away last year, Grover Crenshaw. Great guy. Came to some of my meetings, sat in the audience, and I looked at him, and he didn't even have any buttons on his shirt. He used safety pins. Now, most of us would look at that and go, golly, how is he going to afford an all-star pack? You know what I mean? I mean, he can't even afford buttons, right? So, and that's where I went. I thought, oh, you know, he looked like he had crawled right out from under a rock. And I kept looking at him every time, and he came, and I'd ask him, I was really nice, I would go up to him and say, hey, what's your name, introduce myself, do you have any questions, did you like the meeting, and he goes, oh, it was interesting. I go, would you like some materials, and he goes, sure. I hand him, he goes, great. A week later, I have the same place, I was having weekly meetings at this location. He came back, and he was there again with his, you know, buttonless shirts. This one was a different color, but it still had safety pins, and I'm thinking, geez, I knew he was single, that's one thing I knew. Okay, but anyway, So I went and I talked to him again. I said, so you're back, da da da. And I remember going home that night and thinking, you know, this guy might come to every one of my meetings, but he probably will never sign up. 2 weeks later, he calls me. He goes, Mary Jo, me and my cousin would like to come over to your house because we'd like to sign up as all-stars. And I was like, maybe you should use some of that money to buy some buttons first, you know. I mean, but we get into judgment. And do you know that guy became an executive director in my organization, and he never signed up anyone except at the all-star level. He would work with people for sometimes 3 months. And he wouldn't even, I mean, it was like, all-star, if you want to do this, I want you in as an all-star. And he'd work with them sometimes 2 to 3 months and finally get him in as an all-star. Isn't that great? But you never know. You just never know. This business strikes people differently. It impacts people differently. Everybody has a different, you know, a concept. And it's a great lesson that I can train you too, because here I was a lawyer all my life, right, and owned my own company. And, you know, not one person approached me about network marketing ever. Not one. And I had a ton of friends. I had lots of people in my life. No one ever talked to me about network marketing. And I ended up in it because of the product, because I was looking for a product for my dad. But the incredible thing is that when I first got involved with it, I had no idea what network marketing was. I had no clue. I had none. I'm in it and I'm going, okay, so what are we supposed to do, right? And I was like, green as could be. So you never know. You're going to find people everywhere. Again, don't prejudge people. And the important thing is that you make the dedication to get a hold of those people, contact those people. Who are the kind of people you're looking for? Well, for me, you know, what I love to look for is I'm looking for somebody that can look me, stare me in the eye like Sharon can and say, I want to make $100,000 a year. That's the kind of seriousness I'm looking for in somebody. Because when they say that to me, then what happens is I know they have an underlying belief system that they can get there. Does that make sense? They're going, I want to make $100,000 a year. Show me how I can do it with this business model, right? And that's the kind of person. When somebody looks at me and says, well, I don't know, or I don't know what their belief is. I don't get a flavor for where their belief system is. And it's not that we don't help people grow their belief system, but it's a lot easier when you got somebody that's on fire that has it up front, so you don't have to spend a lot of work on that self-development angle of, you know, helping to build their belief. But you're looking for people that want to make $100,000 plus on an annual basis and are willing to do what it takes. And you know, on my business card today, I have a great statement. It says something to the effect, I don't have one up here with me, but it's something like, entrepreneurship is about taking 2 years of your life and doing things most people won't, so that the rest of your life you can live like most people can't. Isn't that what we do? We say, hey, I'm dedicated. I'm all in. I'm going to go and fight for this. I'm going to work as hard as I can. So 2 years from now, guess what? The cash flow is residual income, and look where I'm going to be the rest of my life. And that's what our business is about. Okay? So everybody clear on looking zone, on contact list? Any questions on the contact list? Do we have any questions in the audience? Great. So we're going to all go out there and build this monstrous contact list. And, you know, like I said, all you got to do is go home and get all your directories out. That's another good way. Your yearbooks from high school, college, whatever, you know, friends, your neighborhood parties. You guys, give me an idea. If you made a list like that, somebody in the audience, somebody, how many people? Sharon, you said, I told you I wanted a contact list of at least 100 people. It took you 2 days? 2 days, and she texted it to me. Okay. But if I told you, I said, sit down and I want you to write down everybody you know from your entire life, how big would that contact list be?
Who knows? Maybe 5,000
people. You got it? 5,000 people. So they're endless. So that's what we need to do, is get down and get to the brass tacks and start digging into that. And then we grow it every single day, because you know what? We live. We walk outside. We go grocery shopping. We go to the post office. You collect names everywhere you go. And that's the fun of this business, because you can impact every single person's life in a significant way through this vehicle. And that's how you look at it every day. Who can I impact today? Right? And it may not, they don't sign up that day, but you start the relationship building, because that's your job. Build relationships. All right, contact list. So what's our second thing that we do? All right, we have our list. Now we have to actually contact a person and invite. Okay, contact and invite. That's our second step. So what's contact and invite? Well, you've got to invite them. Well, first of all, you're going, well, what do I invite them to? Well, you can invite them to, typically your first invitation is going to be to take a look at a brand new business that you just got involved in, or to take a look at something that could totally change their lives, or take a look at something that, you know, I understand you're interested in health. This is a breakthrough technology you might be interested in. Or take it, somebody, invite them to come and learn about how they can be part of a mission greater than all of us. How would you help me on this trek? I'm on a trek to help end global malnutrition in children. Does that interest you? Wow, maybe that's a, but how do we know, let's start out with this. How do we know which one of those, you know, we have three basic core things we offer people. I mean, we have 20 that we offer them, but three major ones. Because we also offer connectedness, we offer legacy, we offer, you know, education, continuing education. We offer so many personal development. There's so many aspects and attributes of this business that are off the charts. But the three core things that typically attract people to our business aren't those things. They're typically the money. People want greater financial wealth in their life, or they want financial stability that they get from residual income streams. Right? Number two, they want greater health. Something's going on in their health that they want to, that's a challenge that they want to improve. Or number three, they're looking for mission. They feel kind of, and that's usually, I call it the 40-year-olds, although when you read the Forbes article about baby boomers are going to find this one of the most attractive models, they talked about that too, being part of something bigger than what you are. A lot of people, though, in their 40s, they work really hard for 20 years, and all of a sudden they're going, is this all there is? And they're looking for, how do I make a difference in this world? So they're looking for mission. So those are the three things. How do we know which one's going to turn the person on? Exactly. We ask questions. See, we love to tell. We need to be the questioners, right? All right? So we need to do that kind of things in our lives. So when you're contacting and inviting somebody, if you're just calling people on a list and you're saying, I just want to make an appointment with you, you're not going to get into a lot of that questioning action. It's going to be more looking like, hey, John, listen, I just came across this new business opportunity, and I thought about you as a partner. I'd love to meet with you. When's a good time? That's it. It's something that short, that sweet, that quick. Do you get it? Simple language. Simple language that is that quick, that short. Now, is there better language out there? There are people that have developed perfected invitational language. In fact, I just bought, like, for I think it was $4. Lydia's left the room, but Tim Sales put a booklet together on invitation languaging. Isn't that awesome? Just for invitation language. This guy's a, you mean, these are network marketing professionals. They've been doing it for 10 times as many years as I've been, right? So they've been in this industry, they've talked to 10 times as many people as I have, and they've perfected the language to give you the best. That's what you're looking for. And you as a brand new person, where can you find some of this from your own upline? They're going to help you. The support staff you have. You have a whole support team. It may not be the person that enrolled you. It might be the first upline leader or that first upline presidential. Whatever it is, go seek that information out. Don't rely on your own judgment. If you are going to go practice law, are you going to go to law school and work in a law firm as a lackey for a while, or are you just going to hang out a shingle and practice law? You get it? It's with any profession. We need training. And this is clear as well on all of these aspects. You need to be trained. So talk to your people in your upline. Get some great language research on the internet. That's how Lydia came across Tim Sales' new piece on invitational language. But it was terrific. I read through it last night. It's terrific stuff. I would have copied the whole thing, but Lydia said that's a trademark violation. So she says, and as a lawyer, I should know better, right? But I, you know, that's my giving heart. I just want to give everybody everything I find. But it's just terrific to find things like that. So you want to get invitational language that's going to work for you so that it's not, you're not whining, you're not, because why do you want to be educated around this? Because you want to be as effective as possible right out of the box, right? If I can tell you, the average brand new person, if they go out on their own, they're going to maybe sign up 1 out of 20 people they talk to, right? Maybe. But if you find people, like, you know, I've been doing it enough. We have a number of other presidentials, Demra and Marla in the audience, and other people that have been doing this a long time, that our rates are maybe out of 10 people, I'm going to sign up 2 to 3 of the 10, maybe even 4. And the whole reason that shifted for me is because I studied the art and I perfected how I work with people. I also study personality quadrants to understand people come from different places, so I know the temperament of people when I sit down with them, and I can join them in their temperament instead of being wild and crazy Mary Jo, right? Because I love to be, I'm out there. I'm definitely the I quadrant. I'm all over that. But I can shift into the D quadrant. I can shift into the S quadrant. I can shift into the C quadrant. I can do any of that depending on who I'm working with. Because a person will react to you best if you're in their quadrant. Does that make sense? So if I'm meeting with somebody who's, you know, in the supporter quadrant, I can talk slower, even though I'm a Yankee. I can talk slower. I can be softer. I can be more intuitive into listening to them and be more touchy-feely. And not in my overzealous natures, but just a softer, you follow? And that's going to be in their comfort zone, so I'll have more impact. But those are the kind of things you want to learn when you're getting to meet people. But contacting and inviting, again, make sure you're getting the education on what kind of language to use so you got it down, so you're not going out there and just being, you know, annihilating people or shutting them down before you ever get started. Because how discouraging is that? Now, if you call somebody and you contact them and you invite them to come to a meeting, it's usually a meeting. It's usually going to be either a one-on-one or come to my house, I'm having a party, or come over, let's meet up at Starbucks, or let's go to Manitech's biweekly meetings. And we're setting up biweekly meetings all across the country now because that's our formula for success. That doesn't mean two a week, it means two a month. So you can come to, like here, every other Tuesday night, the second and fourth Tuesday night, we have biweekly meetings at corporate headquarters, many of which are broadcast. So you want to have those in your area so you can invite people to that. You could invite them to come on a three-way call. That's, Sharon's been doing that. She goes, oh, I came across an incredible product. I got a lady who knows all this stuff. She's been associated with this. Let's do a three-way call. She's inviting. That's also contact and invite, right? So you want to participate in that and get them. What if they ask you in that question when you contact and invite them, what if they say, well, what is this about? What's your response? It's kind of like Sharon just looked at me and she goes, gotcha. It's like, well, I don't. Okay, you don't want to tell them you don't have time, because then it's all about you. See how important this languaging becomes? Because they go, you bothered to call me, but you don't have time right now. Notice what's going on in their brain. So they've just discounted you and what you're going to tell them. So here's something that you can use. I learned this from the South Africans, right? And I loved it. I thought it was funny. He says, you know what? This whole thing is very visual, so I think it's more important that we sit down across from each other. It's only going to take maybe 15, 20 minutes if you've got that time. So when's a good time? Now, does that make more sense? Do you follow? I just thought it was great that this is really very visual, so I really would like to sit down one-on-one with you. When's a good, so when do you have a good time? I'm open tomorrow. You might even throw out at that stage, I'm open tomorrow afternoon if that works for you. So now when you ask when's a good time, it usually gets people thinking about when they're available instead of coming up with objections. But they typically, some people are just inquisitive and they're going to ask, what's this about? They're going to ask that question. And you want to make sure that you have an answer for that. Yeah, that's another thing. If you're doing a three-way call, you can say, you know what, I just came across it. I researched it. It looked like something great for me. But for me to describe it because I'm so new would be too tough. I said, I want to make sure, here's one of the other things I'd like to say as a brand new person. I said, you know what, I want to make sure that when you hear about it, you can get all your questions answered. Isn't that important to you? Now look at what I'm doing. See, Sue, what I've done is I've made it about them and their needs, not my needs. I'm not, because I'm busy doesn't matter to them. But because I want their questions all to get answered, now they're going, wow, that's really sensitive to who I, right? You become sensitive to their needs, right? Got it? So your contact and invite is going to be very sensitive to that person's needs. It's going to be about how do I set myself up for success? How do I make sure I get through that barrier of what is this all about? Because you don't, under any circumstances, want to describe it over the phone. People love to get into that kind of stuff. And you know what? When you're over a phone, how you're like this at a person. That's how far away. When you're in person, it's up close and personal. I'm just going to tell you, your likelihood of success, phone calls, getting people signed up, is like crazy compared to upfront and personal. In fact, some people go out and they buy lead lists. Have you ever heard of that? People, they purchase lead lists. They go, oh, these are hot leads. I'm telling you, I worked with some people, and there have been two that I know of in Manitowoc who have gotten to presidential off a lead list. But they were calling like 300, 400 people a day. I can't do that. But to get, they told me their odds were out of 100 calls, they would get maybe 10 people that had any interest and one sign up. I can't make 100 calls to get one sign up. It would drive me bonkers. It would just, right? How many people feel the same way as Mary Jo? Yeah. I said, because I know I can go out and go to Home Depot and talk to 5 people and get a sign up. So why would I want to call 100 people I don't know who are going to, you know, and a lot of these people, because I did buy, I decided, okay, if people are doing it, I'm going to test it to see how it works. I put a whole group together. I did this whole master test about calling lists. And I mean, I couldn't stand the people that showed me so much disrespect. It was horrible. They're abusive. They're people. And you get these, and it's like, you know what? I don't need this in my life. I mean, I understand it's a mechanism people use, but it wasn't for me. So you've got to decide what works for you. I love upfront and personal. This, no matter how technology goes, this will always be a belly-to-belly business. Does that make sense? And it's one of the reasons I love the business so much. Because I can sit down and I can look in somebody's eyes and I can see who they are and I can get to know them and I can go, wow, this person's going to be great in this business. This is going to be a blast. We can make music together, and I can help them. I'm there as a servant to them in helping them reach whatever those goals are in their life. So belly-to-belly business, so you want to do that. Here's some rules about inviting you want to remember. Number one, the person who's asking the question remains in control. So as you're building relations with people, not necessarily in the invitation stage, but as they go forward, if you're the one asking the questions, you're in control. You follow me? So you don't want to be a teller, you want to be a asker. And that's applied even as you're doing your presentations. I remember I was teaching somebody, I've been doing, and we're going to talk about presentations in a second, and I said, well, if you start doing a presentation and you find out that you have not come up for a breath in the first 5 minutes, I want you to stop, and I want you to look at the other person and say, I just want to apologize. What I've just done is really rude. Can we start over? You get it? You want to involve the other person in that. Even though you're the one that's supposedly giving all the information, you still involve the other person. Don't go on, blah, 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 blah. Because we really are a business about let the materials do the education. Your job is to build relationships. And if you remember that and you apply that, throughout this entire business experience you have, you'll be more successful than you can dream of. Your job is building relationship. Let the materials do the talking. Okay? All right. So another rule, never get into describing. We talked about never getting into describing the business over the phone. Always, whenever you're doing contact and inviting, what do you have with you? Whether it's electronic or it's paper, I don't care how you do it, but you got to have your calendar. Because the whole purpose of contact and invite is to do what? Book appointments. So you've got to have your calendar there. You want to carry that calendar around. You want to have it with you all the time. And it's just an incredible tool for you. And you want to pack that calendar. And this is a great point for some of you leaders in the room. When you're working with new people, when they say, wow, this business isn't working, or they get a little whiny. Anyone have somebody like that in their organization? Okay, yes, we all have experienced that. Where they get the first question you have is say, okay, let's meet tomorrow at Starbucks, bring your calendar. And they'll go, my what? You get this? You can tell whether somebody's going to make it or not in this business. What's in their calendar? I mean, if they're not contacting anyone, they can whine all they want, but they're not doing the business. So you want to get them back on track to do the business, right? So always have a calendar, get people in it. Again, we talked about if people say no to you, what happens? They stay on your list, and you send them a year-end letter, or if you want to do it, a midsummer letter. Sometimes I do a July 4th celebration letter or something, but I always do year-end letters. It's the greatest time. Why does Mary Jo choose year-end letter? When do most people get in a contemplative mode about what's my life like? When a new year starts. That's why I believe the new year, that year-end letter is so impactful, because people are just going, are you kidding? I'm just going to go through another 2015 like 2014? No, thank you. What can I do differently? And bingo, what lands on their desk? Mary Jo's year-end letter. Isn't that neat? That's why it's a great time of year to do that. Okay, contact and invite. Everybody clear on that? That's our second one. Let's go to the third one, which is STP. We call them STP, or we call it presentation, right? This is our number three skill here in that Wheel of Fortune. STP means show the plan, or show the products, although we're really emphasizing business. Let me give you a tip on that. Some people go, well, I don't know. I really like the products. I just want to share the products. That's your choice. If you choose to share just the products, I'm going to suggest your business is going to grow very slowly, if at all. Because no one else in your business is going to be doing the business. You're just going to get a bunch of sick people or people that start on the products. I mean, it's okay to choose to do that. That's a choice you can make. But the idea is, if that's all you're out there for, you're going to not be building people that are going to catapult your business for you. You follow me? You're not going to find the business people that are just going to take and run with it and build your business overnight for you. So it's a choice you make. And we really want to, my preference is this. I always want to show the business opportunity because, number one, lack of finances is a deadlier disease in our country today than cancer or heart disease or anything else. It is. Look at how many people in this country are in the poverty zone. It's sad. They hardly can make ends meet. So I want to solve that problem for people. That's my passion. If I have a mechanism where I can, and some of you go, well, you know what? Yeah, I love this when people say, well, there's only about 1% of the people that make it in network marketing. And I go, what do you describe make it? First of all, ask that question. I have a lot of people in my organization that are making $300 or $500 or $700 a month, and they've made it. They've made it. They don't want to be platinum presidential director. They wanted to get extra income so they could cover their bills and not file bankruptcy or be able to afford vacation. I have one lady that does it only for one reason. It's her vacation fund. She loves it. She loves to go out and share, and it's her vacation fund. And that's, and she's happy as a lark, and what a great, she's made it. So how, what are you defining make it in network marketing? People enter this industry with all sorts of different dreams about what their lives look like. Some people want to replace their entire income. That's great. They want to get out of the job market. That's great. Some people want to make, you know, $250,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 a year. That's great. All of that's available for you in this model. But it's their choice on what they're looking for and whether they've made it, not my decision about whether I value whether you made it or not, because maybe $500 extra a month, how many people would love to have an extra $500 land in their lap every single month? Just raise your hand. Wow. See how cool that is? See? Yeah. It doesn't have to be $500,000. $500, because you already know you're going in your head going, oh, my gosh, think of how I could hit those bills. I could put some college funds aside for my kids. I mean, there's 101 things that we can do with an extra $500. So it's not about 1% making it. And here's another response. If people say that to you and they say only 1%, and I go, what do you, and first of all, what do you mean by make it? Because there are tons of people that make it in network marketing that don't need to be making $500,000. But they're absolutely correct about saying if you're looking at people who are making, you know, $300,000, $400,000 or more, you're probably right. There's only about 1% of the population in network marketing that make it. But let me clue you in on something. Only 2% of the general population make that kind of money. So what's different with network marketing? Do you get this? They don't get it that the average Joe on the streets isn't making $250,000, $300,000 a year. That's not what our society's producing overall in all professions, in all the marketplace. So be clear on that, all right? But the beauty of it is we have a model that can let people make it at many, many different levels. All right, so let me just give you some on presentations. Here's five rules of presentation. Number one, see more people. In other words, you constantly are out finding more people. Okay, for your presentations, you want to see more people. Number two, see more people. Rule number three, see more people. Number four, use the law of averages. Out of 10 people, about 6 will get excited, 2 or 3 may start, and only 1 will succeed. So look at about a 10% success rate out of who you see, right? Okay? And that's the fourth rule. Use the law of averages. And number five is improve your averages. In other words, develop the skills so those averages increase. Because we know we can impact people's lives in many ways, but sometimes we just can't get them to move. Their heart is solid as a rock, and so we need to be rock diggers. We need to be able to rock pushers a little bit sometimes. And that's developing those skills. But that's not one of the four core to get you off and running. That's something you're going to develop as you spend more time reading books, going to self-development seminars, helping coaching, become the leader within you. Because we all need to grow ourselves in leadership areas because we don't get that training. I didn't get it anywhere else in my life until I came into network marketing. And I was a leader, quote-unquote, all my life. I mean, I came out of the womb being a leader. At 5 years old, I was in charge of the entire baseball team in our neighborhood. And they were all boys. I was the only girl. And they were 6 and 7, and I was 5. Can you imagine? My parents thought, I mean, my sixth grade teacher called my mother and said, she's going to be the first female president of the United States. That's what he saw in Mary Jo. So, of course, I could lead, but it was purely by force of personality. It wasn't by skills. Does that make sense? And we need to develop the skills to be great listeners and develop all the leadership. Okay, so when we're doing a presentation, what do we want to do? Make sure in a presentation, first of all, you want to make sure that you get to know the person. If you're doing this one-on-one, more so than in a group setting, but you want to be, even in a group setting, you want to tell a personal story. You want to be personal about it. Because what's important is they want to be able to relate to you. If the person doesn't relate to you, you're going to lose them right out of the box. So you bring on a personal story. When I'm meeting somebody one-on-one, and even in my three-way calls I do, Sharon will tell you, what's the first thing I do on a three-way call? I typically say, tell me about you. We just did one with Peg. This gal's name was Peggy. I'd never met her before. She's on a phone call with me. And I said, so, Peggy, tell me about you. Give me some background. Where are you from? What do people want to talk about? Themselves. It lays this incredible foundation. Right away in their head, they go, wow, she cares about me. She's just not on the phone to sell me something. She cares about me. So you want to make sure that your presentation on a one-on-one or a three-way call is about the other person. By the time we were done with that call, I was calling her Peg. Peg came out of my... I said, sorry, Peggy. I said, does anyone call you Peg? She goes... yeah, like my closest friends. I go, I guess we're best friends, you know. I mean, it was, we laughed about it because that's how tight we got in one 20-minute conversation. What do you think? Do you think she signed up? Of course she signed up. But that's so important. Build that relationship. Be interested in the other person. So you melt the ice, you be interested in them, show a real concern for them. Don't say, well, tell me about you. Okay, let me tell you about Manitech. Blah, 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 blah. When they tell you about them in the presentation that you do, as you talk about Manitech, you bring back in the facts of what they told you about them. You make the story about them so you can tell Manitech from a perspective of what's in their life. Is that intriguing? Yeah, because now they hear about themselves in relationship with Manitech through the presentation. You know, Peg, you told me about this. Well, Manitech's got this great digestive product that I think might make a difference for you. And they start talking about that. And, you know, I hear that you said you've tried so many different things. Well, let me share with you this breakthrough technology called glycobiology. But notice I didn't say, let me tell you about Manitech's breakthrough technology. No, I said, you've told me that you've tried so many things, but you've never heard of this breakthrough technique called glycobiology. So let me share that with you and why it's so different and might make a big difference for you. No, notice the languaging, right? When I do a one-on-one or three-way call, you know what it is? They participate every inch of the way because either I'm pulling their information into my presentation or I'm asking them questions. Got it? So you want to do that. You want to, but critically important, even in if you're standing in front of a group, is saying, getting personal, so that they can look at you and go, "Wow, that woman really got personal," and that helps build what? Trust. That helps build trust, and trust is the most critical aspect of any relationship. So when you go and do a one-on-one or you're doing a presentation, you go, "I don't understand why no one signed up." I want you to look back and say, where did I establish trust? Where did I make it relational? And you'll probably be able to pinpoint immediately why your effectiveness isn't where you want it to be, because that's what you want to have in a presentation. So make sure you do that. Find their dream, too. I mean, if you're doing a presentation about the incredible residual income stream that's available through this model, that you can build this financial cash flow, that you can create whatever, what is it? And that's why if you've looked at Manitech's new PowerPoint they're putting out, which is awesome. In fact, we've spent some time doing a little redo on it because I thought it was a little out of order and it was hard. It was awkward for me when I started using it. And so a group of presidentials have been working on that. And I'm telling you, it is so sweet. It is so sweet. But the idea when we do that presentation, we want to make sure. Manitech's first slide was, if in 2 to 5 years, time and money were no issue in your life, what would you be doing with your life? What does that do right out of the box? The first slide in the PowerPoint, the first question. You're asking the person to start dreaming, right? Because if they sit in an audience and they get done with the presentation and they don't have no idea what their life's going to look like if they get involved with you, they're not going to sign up with you. They're not going to get started. They have to have some visual over here. Sharon immediately goes, "I want to be presidential director." She gets it. She knows exactly. She goes, "Because I'm not living like this. I'm going to live like this. And this is going to get me there," right? So I dream on, right? And you want to stoke those flames. You want to add gasoline to that fire. I watched one of my associates one time. She was working with somebody, and the woman said, "Well, I want to be presidential. I want to make this one." And my associate looked at her and said, "Well, let's not be too, like, outrageous," or something like that. And I was like, wow. So I had to do a little more training of that associate, right? I mean, I want my people to be outraged. I mean, I don't want Sharon to tell me I'm going to be presidential by Christmas when she signed up the week before, right? I mean, because you don't want to make it so unrealistic it's not going to happen. But you want to give, can somebody get to presidential in 1 year? Absolutely. But it takes the 10 three-way calls a day, so somebody tells Sharon to keep working on those three-ways, right? Yay, okay. So the idea is find their dreams. You got to get down what's motivating them, what's going to motivate, because you're asking somebody to change their life, are you not? When you approach them with Manitech, what are you asking the person to do? Change their life. In an insignificant way or a significant way? A significant way. Because this business isn't about sitting on your duff and maybe making one call a week. People can choose to do how many hours they want, but it still is a significant change in your life. So what's going to motivate them to do it? And that's what you need to find, motivating. What's motivation for them? And then as you build your presentation, once you find out what the motivation is, what they want to do, what does Mary Jo do in the presentation? I bring it up. They hear about it. Not every 5 minutes, but probably 2 or 3 times throughout the presentation. They're going to hear about that. I'm going to go back to that position. If I see some pain in their life, I'm going to go back to that pain. I'm almost going to take my finger and just push on that wound a little bit. You get it? Because I want them to, it's not picking on a person. It's just, I want them to feel. I want emotion in this relationship because that's what's going to move that person forward. And it's going to look something like this. I'm going to be talking about, and then if you get to the executive level, then you're going to be making about $2,000. Now, Kathy, you know, you talked about during the economic crisis we've just been through losing all the kids' college funds. Now, is that painful for Kathy? Oh, yeah, because she feels guilty as all get out. They spent 15 years putting money away for the kids. 2008 hit. They had the only way they could survive and pay the mortgage was to delve into that, and now it's gone. So there's a little guilt there. I'm not picking on her. I'm just saying, this is what you told me, and I get it. You really feel pain around that, don't you? And she goes, absolutely, because it's like I sold out my kids' future. No more. Executive director, look how you replenish that every single month. And watch her. She goes from pain to this exhilaration. She has a solution. She has a solution. Who else has given her a solution in her life over the last 10 years on how to do that? No one. And now she has a solution. So touch upon that, move it forward, elaborate on their dreams, and then you get, so that's all part of your presentation style. You want to make sure that you are getting all of that incorporated in the presentation. And if you're interested in looking at how do I form a presentation, Manitech has a great, like I said, the PowerPoint they put out now, the business one, and you'll probably see the new draft out in a week or two. Excellent. I mean, excellent. You can sit down with virtually anyone and just page through that and talk it through. I love it because it's anyone can do it. And that's what this business is about. It's not about, let me give you something. Here's another clue. It's not about what works. It's about what duplicates. Do you follow me? Because what works for me and what works for Demra and what works for Marla can be three distinctly different things. And it's because we have different personalities. But what's important is it duplicatable? Does it duplicate? In other words, I'm going to bring on masses of people. What I do better duplicate. Otherwise, guess what? We have no future in the business. The business won't duplicate itself. So we want to make sure it's duplicatable. That's why this flip chart, this new PowerPoint presentation that you can have as a flip chart is perfect. It's excellent. And you can watch the Tuesday night. We have a whole presentation we do now that comes out of the three-point plan and from South Africa. Every other Tuesday night, we have a meeting here, and that's what we do at the meetings. We do that presentation, and most of it's from the flip chart. It's basically the same thing, a couple testimonials. We bring in the personal side. We get people to speak from their heart. We develop the trust. We develop people getting soft in the audience. That's why all of that there's a reason for every step of that presentation, and that's the style you want to develop. And then if people want more information, right, then you can get a more stage. But you want that presentation to be solid as a rock, have the impact on the person, get to their heart, get to their dream, and you're going to have success, an unbelievable success in moving yourself forward. So everybody got it. Show the plan to presentation. Contact invite, show the plan to presentation. How much time is between this one and this one? Well, it can be 10 minutes if you can get them to Starbucks after you get off the call. It can be, but I'm suggesting that you want to make it as immediate as possible. So if I contact and invite somebody and the biweekly meeting isn't for another 10 days, I'm going to meet them at Starbucks in advance, right? So I'm going to make that meeting because I want to meet with somebody as soon as possible. Why is it that you want to meet with somebody as soon as possible? Not because it's all about you and you want to make money as soon as possible. It's because that person is hurting, they got needs in their life, and you want to serve them. And that's what you make it about. Because until you make that shift in your life, people are going to read you like a book. It's going to be all about you. It's got to be all about them. And that's what's so neat about this business. You know, when I first got involved in the business, I was like, oh, my gosh, I was a lawyer. I was just ripping people's hearts out. Oh, my gosh, it was a nightmare. I was like, this is such a shift. People would say, Mary Jo, you got to talk from your heart. And I go, all I know how to do is take your heart out. You know, I mean, that's really what I did for years. I was a hired shark. And now all of a sudden, I had to shift. And then I got to be passionate about people. And all of a sudden, I found myself, you know, one of the reasons I love this business so much? Because I get to live my Christian values every minute. I couldn't do that in law. I mean, you know what lawyers are? They're hired to represent their client's interests. What if you have a sleazebag client? Guess what you had to do? I mean, it was tough. It was hard. I came home some days and I'd look in a mirror and I go, am I starting to look more like them than Mary Jo? Do you follow me? I mean, it was tough. Those weren't easy times. I mean, it was intellectually challenging, but boy, oh boy, the conflict, the morality issues, the issues that go on at that level are, I mean, I'm talking about multi-billion dollar companies. I was the head legal counsel for one, and I had more ethical issues than you've ever seen. Every day it was like another battle. Tough. with Manatech, guess what? It's just every person I meet, how can I serve you? And that's exactly what Christ says. That's what we're doing on this earth, aren't we? Right? We're here to serve. We're here to serve other people. And that's what makes this business so awesome, because it's all about, if I serve enough people, God takes care of Mary Jo. And this business model takes care of Mary Jo. I just have to help enough people get what they want in their life, and then I don't have to worry about what happens to me. Let the chips fall where they fall, right? So, cool. So, I want to meet this person quickly because I know I have an answer to what's going on in their life. Whether it's money, whether it's health, whether it's mission, whatever it might be, I have an answer for that. And I can't wait to be in their life and change that life. So, that's how fast it is. Okay, fourth one. And then we'll move on to our dream boards. Okay, our fourth one is what? What do you think? Do you just kind of present? Now, this is a fun one because some people in Manatech only draw the circle with three parts. They leave the fourth one out. Isn't that crazy? Well, let's find out what it is, and then we'll see why that happens. This is called what? Follow up. And get people started. So all you're doing is, when you get people started, you're just putting them in a cycle. You get it? They're just starting in a new cycle. Now, why is it that people quit after the presentation? No, but why is it that they don't follow up? Yeah, protection. Yeah, because they fear rejection. Are you kidding me? I mean, this has been one of my hardest things to teach and for people is how to, because I don't understand it. You know, I can teach all of this because I understand all this stuff and I can teach follow up. But what was hard for me is trying to take somebody who doesn't follow up and try to teach him to follow up, because I couldn't even understand where they're coming from in the first place, why they wouldn't follow up. There's a saying in our business. It's called the fortune is in the follow up. Write that down. The fortune is in the follow up. And people say, well, I'm afraid they're going to say no. And I look at them and I go, if you don't follow up, they won't even have the chance. It's an automatic no. Well, I'm waiting for them to call me. Not happening. Let me give you a stat that was huge for me. When I was doing research around this, I came across a statistic. And, you know, statistics are only as good as the guy who wrote them, because, you know, it's really funny how most of the statistics I've used over the years, I mean, if they're government statistics, are pretty good. But even people quote, like, the government statistic about 96% of the people at age 65 are either dead or dead broke. I found out that that's a bunch of hogwash. That's not even a government statistic. And I've been using that for years, and now, so that's out of my protocol. I don't use it. But, you know, there's stuff out there. But here's a statistic for you that I read from a psychologist. He said, and they were doing studies on decision making. And they said, 80% of people in America don't like to make their own decisions. 80%! So what does that tell you about your prospects when you bring them to a presentation? When you follow up, who needs to make the decision for them? You do. They're going to love you for making it, because they're going to stand in a quandary. Oh, well, I don't know. They're going to weigh this. They're going to do this. How many in the room have done that themselves? My husband is one of those. Like, he wants to buy a new car. He would go out shopping for 8 months. Mary Jo buys a new car. I buy the first car I see. When I was practicing law in Milwaukee, I was living in an apartment. Some guy came in that was a new associate. He says, well, I've been looking at houses. I found this really cute one, but I don't know. It's a little bit out of my budget, da, 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 da. And I said, really? And I said, it was cute. I wasn't even looking for houses. I went over and looked at it, and I bought it. One house, one buy. Notice that it's decision-making. I love to make decisions. If it's a wrong decision, you know what? I'll correct it later. But I don't want to waste the time in my life dwelling on the 18 different factors, blah, 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 blah. I mean, and thank goodness I have Lydia today. So I say, Lydia, if we're going to do this research, find out. And so I let her do the 5-10 minute Google search or whatever, you know, because I want to, or we're going out to a restaurant. I don't even tell her. She comes. We were saying, oh, we're going to a restaurant today. Let's take the family out. She'll run upstairs, come back downstairs with 4 different coupons off the internet for that restaurant. I mean, it's like she doesn't miss a beat, right? But for me, it's like, you know what? I like to make a decision to move on. Make the decision to move on. But 80% of the people are totally opposite to that. So if you know that as a statistic, why aren't you following up? If you know inherently they're not going to be in a quandary about do I do it or not do it, and they want to sit on the fence, they want to, you know, they're fence sitters. You don't fence sitters. They just want to sit on the fence. And they're going to watch the whole world go by as they sit on the fence. You know you have something so great for them. You know their dream. Remember, you did the research. What did I tell you? Make sure you've developed the trust. Find out about them. Find out about their, what's their goal? What's their direction in their life? Get into their, do all of that. Be committed to help support them in achieving that. And then you call up and you say, so, what did you like about what you saw? What did you like about what you saw? That's a great question. You don't say, what do you think? Huh. You know, my dad used to say that to us all the time. I think it was his mechanism. You know how guys sometimes have a hard time talking to kids? My dad was one of those. Back in the Depression era, grew up in that era, and he would go, what do you think? And I go, I don't know, Dad. Are you thinking about something? And he'd look at me like, what? He thought it was a little sassy. And I was just like, what do I think? You know, I mean, I didn't even get it. I was like, really? But we should be a joke around our house. What do you think? But that's not what you do. You want to make sure that you're guiding the conversation. So if you say, what did you like most about what you saw? What are you going to draw out of them? You're going to draw out of them positive things. Things that they really saw that were valuable. Positive things for themselves. Positive reactions. So they're going to start talking to you about some positive things. They go, well, you know, when I heard about this, I really fascinated me because I was, and then you can delve into that. Now you can focus on the positives. Drive the positives home. Home being signing the application form. Drive the positives home. Great, I'm glad you brought that up. I wanted to, you know, elaborate on that a little bit. And you might just throw a couple more things and say, that's super. So how would that apply in your life? Can you see how that would work in your life? Now drive it back to them. So I'm not, again, doing another presentation for them. I'm getting them to do the talking. But that's what you do. Follow up. You got to follow up and ask them, how did you like it? Now, what if somebody says you do all the follow up? For me, I do something that's called the assume close. In other words, when somebody shows up at a meeting with me, I assume they're going to sign up. So when I'm done with the meeting, I go, great, let's get started. And I get the application form out, and I say, let's talk about the products, what products you'd like for your family. And some of them kind of look at me at deer in headlights, and they go, okay. I mean, they don't know anything else to do because Mary Jo's already got them closed. That's called an assume close. You can do that as well. But you have to have a lot of self-confidence to do that, right? And you kind of come across that you, if you come across and go, well, did you like what you saw? Yeah, I mean, they're going to pick up your temperament. So you want to be strong, you want to be bold, you want to be straightforward. So that's how we are. But there's many different ways of closing. In fact, you can take a class just on closing styles and see which one fits you or choose ones that fit you best. But you want to be able to close. You want to be able to close. So let's say that you didn't pick up on Mary Jo's and you're not closing the person as they walk out of the meeting, or you're calling them up and you're not closing them the next day. But first of all, once you have a meeting, always book a meeting. Do you know that? Let's say you bring some people to a meeting and you go, oh, great. So yeah, so it's been great. Did you enjoy what you saw? Yeah, yeah. And you all get in your cars. No, never happened. Even doing a one-on-one, you go to Starbucks. No, you never leave Starbucks without what? You never leave the meeting without what? Have a meeting, book a meeting. When is the next time you're going to get in touch with the person? You always have the next date down. Is it going to be tomorrow? Is it going to be on Wednesday? Is it going to be on Friday? When are you available? Let's sit down and talk about this. Let's talk about what you saw. When can we get together again? You always have a meeting, book a meeting, have a meeting, book a meeting, have a meeting, book a meeting. So you follow up with them. You get it? Have a meeting, book a meeting. So you already have a follow-up date. So I'm going to meet Kathy. She came to the meeting. She had to leave early because she had to pick up her kids from childcare or something. So when she told me she was going to do that, I said, great, Kathy, I know you're going to be walking out of the meeting. When can we follow up? She goes, well, how about tomorrow? And I said, great, do you want to get together or you want to do it over the phone? Whatever she like. My preference is face-to-face because it's a belly-to-belly meeting, I mean business. But she wants, let's say she says, okay, let's go to Starbucks at noon. Great, good, perfect, whatever your schedule. Let's meet. That's why you have your calendar with you all the time so you know when you're free. You get this? You don't go, oh, let me check my calendar. Bunch of crap. You have your calendar with you all the time so you can make it a book an appointment. Because then I don't have to worry about calling her back and she's not answering her phone because I already have a booked appointment. Follow me? So I show up. So we show up at the booked appointment. So we that right? So now she shows up and then what do? I do the follow-up there. And I ask her what she... Now if I go into a follow-up and I ask her and she's asking questions, she goes, well, you know, I just don't think I'm ready yet. Let's say she says, I'm not sure that I'm ready yet. I'm not sure. First of all, some of you like to ask people, well, would you like some more information? Never ask that question. That's your bailout of closing a person. If they want more information, shouldn't they ask you? By you asking them if they want more information, you're putting delay tactic in it. You don't want to do that. That's not what we're about. It's not about, you know, and if they say, well, I don't know if I have enough information to make a decision, then you can say, well, what is it do you think you need in order to make a good decision? You know how many people would call me on the phone in my organization and go, well, I just left a meeting and I was with this person and they wanted more information. Mary Jo, what should I send them? I'm going, well, what did they want? I'm supposed to tell you what went on in your meeting and determine what they wanted. You're asking me, 200 miles away, what you should send them. Why didn't you ask them what they would need to make a decision? Ask them, find out from the person, meet there. You know, sometimes it's just a delay, a pushback mechanism for them. They really don't need more information. They just want a little time to think about it. But you can clarify that. It's okay. People can take time to make a decision. So if they just, what if they just want to take time to make a decision or something like that? What I usually do is I say, hey, great, listen, why don't we meet? There's a meeting coming up on Tuesday night. And what a, because she said, well, I think I just need more time or to make this decision. I say, great. I says, notice the word great. I don't make them wrong, make them right. Do people feel better when they're made wrong or when they're made right? When they're made right. So the psychology here is great. And you go, listen, there's a meeting coming up on Tuesday, and it'd be an excellent opportunity for you to collect some more information so you can make a better decision for yourself. See, now it's all about them. It's not about me. It's about them. Book a meeting, have a meeting. They don't want to move forward. They want to think about it. They need some more information. Great. Listen, there's a meeting coming up Tuesday night. It'd be a great opportunity for you to come and learn more and make a more informed decision or make a better decision for yourself, right? Just keep doing that. I don't care if they go to 12 meetings with me as long as they make the decision. And now they can't complain they don't have enough information because they've been to 12 meetings, right? So, and they've met more people. All right? So got it? So follow up and get them started. And how do you get them started? Same way you got started. You just, this is a duplicatable business. You always have a duplication. Always duplicate the business. When Sharon starts people, what she do? She signed up Kathy. What was the first thing she got Kathy to do? Through a call with Mary Jo, Kathy got her first person signed up. Bingo. Shh. See how it works? It's just a duplication. You keep duplicating that, duplicating it. It's like a machine. It just works that way. And Kathy's now on her path, and she's got another three-way call for me as we drive home today because they have to head back. So in the car, we're going to do another three-way with Kathy, with another one of her people. Isn't it neat? It's the way it works. It's duplication. You just duplicate. Simple. All right. I think I covered most of that. Always remember that, you know, there's a great statement that was made in a book I read. It was John Kalinch's book, How to Be the Best You Could Be in MLM. And it was like my favorite book. Like 6 months into Manatech, I came across his book through Shirley Thomas. And I read it on an airplane flying up to Vancouver. And I got off the airplane and I called up the number in the book and I ordered a whole case. That's how much I like it, right? And it, it's a great book because it helped me, who has never been in network marketing, understand the industry and what it was really going to take to grow this business. So I needed to get educated on it. But there was a comment in there that I really liked a lot for me. And it was really about how you take, you know, somebody who finally concludes they don't want to join your business or they don't want to take the products or something like that. And it goes like this. Some will, some won't. So what? Next. Yeah. Some will, some won't. So what? Next. So it's just about not making such a big deal about somebody not joining you in the business. There's always somebody else out there. Last time I looked, there are millions of people out there waiting for an opportunity just like this. And when you find those people, they're going to jump on board and they're going to have a blast with it. And you're going to have a blast with them. A lot better scenario than you trying to drag somebody across the finish line, right? So let's go out there and do that this year. Let's go out and find those people. There are millions of them out there. They're everywhere. Last time I looked, we didn't run out of people in this country, right? And now's the greatest time, personally, I think it's the greatest time of the year to get people started in this business because they're all being contemplative about, really, I'm going to start 2015 and do the same thing I did in 2014. Something's got to change in my life. You are the change agents. So let's go out and make that happen. Okay, thank you, people. Great. I hope you enjoyed it. Now I'm going to ask Demra to come back on board, or Marla's coming back, both of you together. Great. We're going to talk about our next step today, which is going to be our Dream Board party. I think we're keeping everybody online for the instructional part, and then we're going to all break out and just have fun doing Dream Boards. So. Here come the girls.
Most of y'all.